The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
And then welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 18th day of April 2025. And tonight, way back in the back in the phone booth, we have Pastor's Mighty Men, Aaron and Eric. They're back there ready to take your calls. And the lines are open at 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. And then the other line is 888-677-9673. This is the last night. We got less than 2 hours left for our pledge week. So, folks, we really need you. We really need to hear from you tonight. So then in the glass cage in between back there and back here, we have our producer, our board operator. He's a giant, a great big guy named Chris. And he's ready here to, he's ready to protect me from anything. So, hey, Chris.
Hello there, everyone. Yes, don't listen to him. I'm a big pushover.
Alrighty. And then here we have live in the studio from right to right, because no left is allowed or ever tolerated here, right? We start with Aaron Gunias from Geo County Right to Life.
Hello, Pastor and audience. And
then we have our special guest tonight, Robert Kylo, and he is the Advancement Senior Director for Center for Christian Virtue.
Pastor Sanders, blessing to be here. Thank you so much.
It's good to have you here. Then you heard the cackle, always cackling, never any eggs. Oh. That's the studio mom, Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. Okay. We're going to start out tonight. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I forgot a man of renown, the distinguished statesman, none other than Big John McTernan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all our listeners. Now, I'm having a little problem here. I hear everybody fine but you. Your voice is really garbled, so I don't know if that's on my end or your end.
Okay.
Oh, there it is. It's clear now.
Huh. Well, that's strange, but then around here, strange is normal, right? We've had some very interesting things happen in the studio, believe me. Anyhow, we're going to go to prayer tonight, John, for the radio program. We have less than 2 hours. But before we do that, we have Wanda in, out there in Texas, a lady that's a believer, one who loves the Lord and who's faithful, been faithful supporter of this ministry. Wanda has colon cancer. And so we're going to ask the good Lord if he might touch her, he might heal her. And so let's pray for Wanda. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just would ask right now, Lord, we know, Lord God, sometimes we know your will is not what our will is, and we know your will is a perfect will. But, Lord God, we would ask, Father God, that you would touch Wanda, Lord, that you might give her a complete and total healing. Lord, you know what Wanda needs. Often We think we know what's wrong with us, Lord, but you really know what's wrong with us. And you know in every single area where Wanda needs a blessing. Lord, she's been a blessing to us in this ministry, Father God. So we're asking likewise, Lord, that you would touch her, you would heal her, you would turn her desires towards you more and more every day in every way and all things at all times. And Lord, that you would use Wanda, and just like in the rest of us listening, right up until the minute you take us home, use her that she hears those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." These things we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And so we're going to start out tonight, and we'll do it with you, John, praying for our finances here. We need to raise. We've just right now we're 11 short of what we need right now. 11,000 of what we need right now. Okay, and so if you would start out, and then I'm going to ask all three of you fellows to pray for those finances. So if you would lead off, John.
Yes. Abba, Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we bring before you a serious need, Lord. This here show operates on the gifts of the listeners, Lord. We do that so we're free to share, teach, promote the truth in your word, the gospel, and also, Lord, truth about what's needed here for the nation, truth about what's going on in the world, truth about what's going on, Lord, in the churches. So we have to be free to do that. And we always promote your gospel on this show. At the end, we've been doing it since the beginning, promoting your gospel and also promoting your word in teaching. So, Lord, to keep this going, we need your blessings. We need your blessing that you'd put it on the hearts of the people to send the funds so that we can stay on all the radio shows. Lord, without the funds, we're going to have to close radio shows, Lord. So, again, we're asking in the name of Jesus a great, great blessing, Lord, that the people would realize that it's their help that keeps us going. And Lord, we also want the people blessed. We want your blessings upon them for being so generous and gracious here in our time of need. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We're opening, Lord, we're asking that you would open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, which here would be the funds needed to keep the show going. And Lord, while I'm praying, I'm asking your blessings on Pastor Ernie. I'm asking your blessings on his health. He's had some bouts now, Lord. And I think it's been in his lungs. But Lord, I'm asking great health upon him so he can continue promoting the truth here. That you would lead him to the information that is needed to get out to the public that perhaps isn't getting out anywhere else. So bless him, his family, Lord. In fact, bless everybody that's part of the show, Lord, behind the scenes, the people working behind the scenes and everything. And in Jesus' name we ask, amen, amen, and amen.
All right, thank you, John. Eric, I know you got to get to the back, Aaron, so would you go ahead and first, before we do, Cheryl in New Jersey pledges 100. Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay. Thank you, Cheryl. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for having the opportunity to be part of the radio ministry here. We just ask your blessing upon Pastor Sanders and have the Holy Spirit speak through him as he teaches the Bible every night. And educates the listeners on current events and how they can do their duty to you, Lord, to fight the corruption and restore biblical morality to America. God, we just pray that you move upon the hearts of those who can give, to give cheerfully and bountifully, and just encourage them to know that their kindness and giving will go toward a good cause that's seeking to glorify your name and restore our nation to one nation under God. Lord, I'd like to pray for our nation. I lift up our leadership, President Trump and his cabinet, as well as all the other state and local elected officials that know you, Lord. I just pray you convict their heart to do their duties consistent with the Bible and to do so with courage and not be concerned or afraid of the consequences of fighting the left and the wickedness that's seeking to destroy our republic. So, God, I'd just like to read from your word here. This is Colossians chapter 1, and to encourage the brethren. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And God, I just pray that any anybody listening right now that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray you convict their heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and that they will repent and call on you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. The lines are open at 888-281-1110. That's a credit card line, 888-281-1110. Or the other line is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Lines are open. We really need to hear from you folks out there. And with that, let's go to Robert Kylo. Robert?
Father in heaven, we pause on this Good Friday to reflect on Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one true Savior. We thank you that he could say, "It is finished." And when he did, and when he breathed his last, the veil was torn and access was opened through the shed blood of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus Christ. We exalt his name to the highest place. Lord, I'm reminded that there was a boy with a few fishes and loaves who, when he presented it to Jesus, he was able to feed the multitudes after blessing that bread and fish. There were leftovers in each of the basket. That's who you are. You are a multiplier. Lord, for every single person that's listening tonight, wherever they are in the United States of America, may they have ears to hear what you would have them give tonight. For some that are extraordinarily wealthy, they could cut a check instantaneously for $11,000, if not $111,000. Would you put it on someone's heart to give a huge gift tonight, Lord? For those widows' mites out there, we thank you for those widows' mites, Lord, that they gave out of their necessity. Lord, may they give in a way that honors you tonight. And Lord, would you do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Lord Jesus Christ, you held nothing back from us, for God so loved the world that you were willing to die so that we may live. We thank you, Jesus. And related to this nation, 56 men in the year of our Lord, 1776 on July 4th, were willing to lay down their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for the birthing of the United States of America. They held nothing back as well. So God, may this be a night of supernaturally blessed, generous giving, so that Pastor Sanders and his team can continue to bring the truth, because we know it's the truth that sets people free. And as it says in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, your truth is marching on. May it march on tonight in every heart of every listener this evening. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robert. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to get into our scripture tonight, but let me give you that number out real quick one more time. The credit card number is 888-281-1110, and the other number is 888-677-9673. And we have Susan in New York pledges 25. Thank you, Susan. Okay. So we're going to start tonight, Big John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. And so let's start. Let's take it verse by verse, okay? Now, the very first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, into this went Mary Magdalene, or cometh, actually. When it says in the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene, actually, that's the same word there, and we use went. And Mary Magdalene, nearly early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Now, here's, people will say, you know, wait a minute, all of these different gospels give a different version. No, they don't, okay? They all give the same version, but not all of them give every the same details, you know? It's like when you're watching something, you know, some people see, they decide to put in one thing and not others, or mention this and not mention this, you know, whatever was important. But here you have all of the different, well, you know, one of the things that prosecuting attorneys love to get eyewitnesses, because if they can get several different eyewitnesses, they always see things from a different perspective, and they can make it a look like the that it contradicts. You know, that's one of the things that they do, but it doesn't. It doesn't contradict in anything at all. It's just, again, you're seeing it from a different perspective. So here, what do we know? Well, we know that Mary went, and she, along the way, as she was going to the sepulcher, we know over in Mark 16, verse 1, she ran into the other women. And when they went there to the sepulcher together. When she saw the stone rolled away, the empty tomb, she ran away right away to go tell Peter and John, and that the two of them had gone to be with Mary and the other disciples. So we go to verse 2. He says, by the way, you could just jump in, Robert, anytime.
Okay, and thank you.
Then she runneth and come to Simon Peter, and so to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Now, here, you know, it's an interesting thing, because this verse is in here. It's in the other Gospels too. But who do you think she was referring to? They have her taking him away. Who do you think, Big John McTurnan, she was thinking of?
Probably the Romans, Pastor Ernie.
The Romans, or probably the Jews. She was referring to the Sanhedrin, you know. They had a lot to lose.
The Romans are guarding it, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, I know the Romans were guarding it, but don't forget, they were bribed. They were bribed.
Well, that's possibly.
Well, yeah, where were they getting their money? In fact, let me jump over very quickly. I just want to jump over very quickly to Matthew chapter 28 and read verses 11 through 15. Now, when they were gone, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and taking counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, as did they, and they were taught, And this saying is commonly reported among Jews until this day. So here, it was the Jews that were paying them hush money.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, but it was after the body, after they thought the body was stolen. You know, this wasn't like before, so they could steal the body. This money was after the body was the Lord's body was missing.
Yeah, I know. And so they thought, again, here Mary and the others thought, well, they had, you know, they'd taken him away. They've there was a real problem with all of that, though, right? I mean, the different theories that they had was one that Jesus never really died. He swooned, and he came to in the coffin or in the sepulcher and got up and walked away. What's the problem with that?
Well, Pastor Ernie, the Roman, one of the Roman soldiers drove a spear into the side of the Lord, and water and blood poured out, you know, all the way down to like the ground. So his heart had exploded. He was dead on the cross.
Yeah. All right. Joanne in New York placed 1,000. Thank you, Joanne. And Brian and Kit also placed 25. Thank you, Brian. Alrighty. Again, that number is 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Well, it would have been... Go ahead.
I was just going to say briefly, the part of the story, everything about this is good news, right? We're about to read about the resurrection of the Messiah. No better news on this side of heaven. Who's going to the tomb that morning? Mary Magdalene. It's a reminder, listening audience, the power of the gospel. There was a time when Mary Magdalene was in gross darkness. She couldn't be further from the kingdom of God, but she had an encounter with Jesus.
He cast out 7 devils from her, didn't
he? That's right, and she's the one that ends up seeing him risen from the grave. It's a reminder that the gospel transforms lives, and there may be one person out there, there could be thousands out there right now that need a touch from Jesus. And open your heart to him because he'll set you free. He's resurrected, and he wants to turn your life into something that will give him glory.
And so the good news for all those people out there listening to us, no matter who you are, is that only sinners can be saved, right?
Amen. Thank God.
Amen. And so very good. So here now, go on to verse 3. And Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. Well, the other disciple was John, the one Jesus loved, they say. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first into the sepulcher. Well, they're saying because John was a lot younger that he outrun Peter. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen clothes lie. So what is this significance? The significance in this, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Here, we see this, then went in the other disciple, which came first into the sepulcher, and he saw and he believed, okay? You know, isn't it interesting that the Lord Jesus, his own brothers, who grew up with him, right, yet he had to raise himself from the dead before they believed upon him, okay? Hmm. What did they tell him? Remember that they're here at the triumphal entry, they said, well, why don't you go out in there, and if you could really, if you really who you say you are, go ahead and let everybody know. Do you think that... Do you think that maybe the brothers might have gotten a little harassment from people saying, so you're the brother of the Messiah, you know, whatever? Well, do you think any of that took place, John?
I'm sure it did, Pastor Ernie. And his brothers there weren't any of the disciples. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They weren't disciples. So I'm sure that they took... all sorts of questioning and mocking and all. But here's the thing. They knew what he was doing. They knew raising people from the dead. He knew the blind were seeing. You know, blind eyes were healed. Crippled people were walking. Leprosy was instantly clean. You think that that would have softened them, Pastor Ernie?
Well, Jesus said that a prophet's never accepted by his own, okay? And so, you know, sometimes as a pastor, you know, for a lot of years like I have been, we have, and I know in many cases over the years, relatives, the only time that they would call on me is when they had I had a funeral. Somebody was sick. Somebody got sick. They would call and ask me to come pray. When the emergency was over with, thanks for being here, brother. But the emergency's over with. We thank you, so maybe you could just take Jesus and we'll call you again when we need you. They don't say that in, in those many words, but every pastor knows this. I mean, it's, you know, that happens. That's the way a lot of people are today, and I guess it's been that way. And, of course, they'll hear about it from me.
You know, it's amazing, Pastor. You think of who's writing this, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle John.
Absolutely.
The same John who referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He knew he was loved, and he loved Jesus so much at the Last Supper, he leaned in on Jesus' breast. He actually heard the heartbeat of God. There's something about close proximity with Jesus. When he does something, you believe him. And I just think it's fascinating that John immediately believed.
He believed, and he later convinced many, many others to believe too, didn't he?
Yeah, and they put him on the island of Patmos for standing for the word of God, but he didn't back down there either because we have the book of Revelation.
Yeah, he got a bath in hot oil too, and that didn't discourage him either, did it?
And who would die for a lie?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I believe that the Peter's moment where Peter was saved was when the cock crew, and he looked and his eyes met Jesus' eyes right there. That's when his heart was broken after he denied him three times, okay? Then I believe that was the time where Peter was saved, okay? For as yet he knew not the scripture that must... Now, how could this possibly be? How could this possibly be here? I mean, Jesus had told him three times already by this time. Not only that, but they had a Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10 in the Old Testament that made it pretty clear, too. So how could they not know that he must rise again from the dead? You know, often we have ways of, if there's something we don't want to believe. Remember, Peter said, told Jesus, Jesus said, you all depart from me, you all betray me. And Peter said, no, I won't. I would never betray you. I'll lay my life down. And that's when Jesus told him, no, you'll do it three times by the time the cock crows. And a lot of times, I know some people, I know one person in particular, that if she doesn't want to believe something, if she doesn't want to believe something, even if it's right in front of her, she'll convince herself in total opposition, okay? You can tell her, you know, on Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we're going to go do this. On Tuesday at 9 o'clock, we're going to go do this. And if she don't want to go do that, she won't hear that. She will not hear it, even though you've told her 25 times. Mm-hmm. Kind of in our nature, in a way, right? Mm-hmm. Peter did not want to hear, and the apostles did not want to hear that Jesus was going to die, because they just did not, they could not wrap it around their heads that he was going to rise again. I mean, that was just not something that happened, right? But they saw what happened with Lazarus, so they knew, okay, he could rise Lazarus, right? Mm-hmm. But so their hope was gone. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again into their own home. And so we are going to go to a quick break. We'll be back right after this.
Son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. There to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
I know
he holds
He lives, we can live forever. That's right, he did it. He defeated death and hell. We've got God's word on that. There's nothing more sure than the word that spoke the universe into being, folks. And listen, Danny in Michigan pledges 125. Mark in New York pledges 100. And Dale in Michigan pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Alrighty, we're back. And what we're going to do here is, and Big John, you know, we want to hear too from you, because you're going to be doing some more preaching, and all across the country. Well, we're seeing people, Muslims, converting to Christ in a lot of areas. But right now, we're going to go and talk to Robert Kylo on just an amazing organization he heads up as senior director for advancement here, and that organization is called Center for Christian Virtue. So tell us what you're all about, what you're up to, and how we can support you.
Well, Pastor Sanders, thanks again for your hospitality. I would just humbly say that our president, Aaron Bear, sets the tone. He is our fearless leader, and ultimately we're all following Jesus. Our mission is to seek the good of our neighbors by advocating for public policy that reflects the truth of the gospel. The organization's been around for a little over 40 years. Nearly 10 years ago, Aaron took the helm and was very intentional and changed our name to the Center for Christian Virtue, because if we're going to be about God's business, then we want to make sure people know who we stand for, and we stand for the gospel.
Absolutely, and I remember when you changed that name, and the previous people leader I had on the radio program years ago, I think when they first got started, I had them on the very first time, okay?
Amazing people, Pastor. I mean, God's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This generation of leaders has emerged. I'm blessed to serve on our leadership team as the Senior Director of Advancement, and I often say what matters is the mission. Again, seek the good of our neighbors by advocating for public policy that reflects the truth of the gospel. We are literally directly across from the Ohio State House. A cool story, we bought a building from the Columbus Dispatch. The Columbus Dispatch dispatching news, let's just say, probably not completely true. No offense.
I would say so.
And now here we are as the Center for Christian Virtue, bringing the truth of the gospel directly into the Ohio State House, helping to pass things like the Backpack Bill, which advances Ed Choice dollars to Christian families, to some backing we have from the Heritage Foundation to actually have schools that are Christian, actually birthed in church buildings. It's a model that's starting to spread across the nation, let alone Ohio. We helped work with Representative Click and other champions on House Bill 68, which was the SAFE Act and Save Women's Sports Act, just to name a couple. And then undergirding our policy platform are our three pillars of our church ambassador network, 4,500 churches and growing across the state of Ohio that are bringing the truth of God's word from the pulpit, addressing the cultural issues of our time head on with the truth of the gospel, and it's having a big difference. One of the subsets of that is our Minery Fellowship for cultural engagement, where we're actually equipping the pastors to address issues that have to be addressed, from life to liberty to family to marriage to gender, you name it. What does the word of God have to say, and let's bring it. And then the second pillar is our Christian Business Partnership. Over 330 Christian businesses and owners in the state of Ohio who recognize that their business is a platform from God. And if cash flow is king to a businessman or woman, what happens when Jesus Christ is king of that cash flow? You can see amazing things happen throughout the state of Ohio, and you are. We have chapters in Cleveland and Chillicothe and Toledo and Canton, Columbus, Cincinnati, soon to be Columbus, I should say. And then our last pillar is our Ohio Christian Education Network, a grouping of 200 Christian evangelical schools that are equipping young people to make sure that they can step into their God-given potential and live out their God-given purpose. So all that to say, the Center for Christian Virtue, we have 30 staff, I believe now, dedicated men and women that are all in for Jesus and making sure that the state motto of Ohio, which is the words of Jesus, which says, with God, all things are possible, not only happens here in the Buckeye State, but we're looking to replicate our model across the nation, and God's moving powerfully.
Well, you're getting that message out right now tonight across the nation. I got to go and say, Tony in Toronto pledges 100. And Donna in New Jersey pledges 50. Well, you know, one of the things that you need to do, what we were talking about here, getting the pastors. So a lot of times the pastors out there, You know, I could tell you I've been very, very unhappy with the dearth of courage from the pulpit. A lot of them feel that there's a mindset out there that has been that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics, that politics are dirty and whatever. But the Bible says we're to be the head, not the tail. We're to be salt and light. We're to lead, okay? And, you know, who is it? This earth belongs to who?
The Lord, Psalm 24.
That's right. And so when born-again Christians are, what, heirs of the kingdom, right?
That's right, that's right.
Joiners. So if we're heirs of this world, and then why should we take a back seat, okay? No place does it say that we're second-class citizens, but in no place in the Beatitudes does it say blessed are the stupid. But that message has been going out for years, and too many those in the pulpit have been buying that. But so now, you're bringing these pastors together. Do you think that coming together in a group gives them a little more courage?
Absolutely, because courage is contagious. If you get one, then two, then 12, then 20, then 50, then hundreds, and then thousands that are being equipped. What does it say in Hebrews? Stir each other up to love and good works. Mm-hmm. So much more as you see the day approaching. I played sports most of my life. When you get in the locker room with other people that are on the same team and you go take the field, you know, God's not looking for lone rangers out there. So what we're finding is that courage is spreading, wisdom is spreading, and people are taking back the pulpits with the whole counsel of God. And isn't it amazing how Jesus wants us to follow every word? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The days of a la carte Christians are over. You need to follow every word he says. And the pastors, thank God for them. There are amazing shepherds in the state of Ohio, just as I'm sure there are great shepherds across the United States. And isn't it interesting, Pastor Sanders, of the 56 signers of the Declaration, as we're getting ready to celebrate 250 years next year, actually tomorrow 250 years since Lexington and Concord, the men that signed those documents overwhelmingly were born-again Christian men.
Absolutely.
Who believed in the Word of God.
And many of them were pastors. And
amen.
In fact, those that actually led the battles in the Revolution for independence were pastors. You know, again, they stepped right out of the pulpit and into the battle.
And I think of you, Pastor Sanders, for 40, 50 years, fighting the good fight. Where does that fight come from? It comes from the Lord.
Amen.
It comes from the courage of God's Word. The Word of God never returns void. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God, all the promises of God that are yes and amen, the armor of God, the angels of God. I mean, my goodness, the blood of Jesus, those are some pretty mighty weapons.
Amen.
I think it says in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. So, body of Christ, let's listen out there. We're on the winning team. And I also would remind you of this. We are in a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. And in a constitutional republic, we're a nation of laws, and we, the people, are the governing authorities. When Jesus said long ago, give to Caesar that which is Caesar, and give to God that which is God, brothers and sisters in Christ in America, we're Caesar. We, the people, are the governing authorities who elect men and women to represent us. So let's make sure we're electing people that honor God and honor life, honor liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because without God, you're not going to have any of it.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because that passage means exactly what it says when it says, render. When Jesus said, render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Well, he's, you know, the earth and the fullness thereof, and in other words, the earth and everything on the earth belongs to God. When he said, show me the coin, okay, whose image on that, okay, Caesar was made in the image of God. He belongs to God, and you're right, you know, we belong to God. We are not our own, okay, and so, absolutely. Now, John, out there, when people have said to me, and I know Big John has been in this battle for a long, long time, especially the pro-life battle out there, and, you know, what I've been shot at, they've tried to run me over, they've tried to kill me, I don't know how many times, but, you know, God, and I knew, you know what, they can't do anything to me as long as the Lord don't want it, right? Okay.
That's right.
But I had people would ask me, and I know, John, you feel the same way. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you afraid to go out, go back out there? And I would say, no, I'd be more afraid not to. I'd be much more afraid not to obey the Lord, okay? Not to go where I'm called. What do you think, John?
Well, yeah, Pastor Ernie, I can think of two cars in particular that tried to run me over, but I knew the Lord called me there. I felt safe there, no matter what happened. So I couldn't stay. He called me to go there, and that's all there is to it, Pastor Ernie. I'm going. I can't let the fear try and stop me.
All right, here's a question for both of you guys.
In fact, Pastor Ernie, case that I won there in federal court against the city of York.
Yeah, that was quite a case.
There was several things leading up to it, but what triggered it was a high-speed vehicle tried to run me over at the abortion center, and the police were standing right there. They saw the whole thing, and they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't. I was hollering, arrest him, and they said, the one cop, he was looking right at it, he said, I didn't see anything. So that got me so angry, I went to the police headquarters, they threw me out. I went to the mayor's office, and they threw me out, and I ended up with some community group that, defended the people, and they got me to internal affairs, to the police internal affairs. So I told the internal affairs that the police that were there denied everything, so there's nothing they could do. But that started a whole ball rolling where an attorney found out about it, a law firm found out about it, and they decided to back me and put it all together, and we went into Federal Court of Appeals. We ended up in the Federal Court of Appeals and won everything. And as a result of that case, Pastor Ernie, they're teaching that in law schools now. That it's called McTernan versus the City of York, Pennsylvania. That is in being taught in law schools. The victory that I had was so great legally.
Yeah, I know that, and the whole city, the cops and everybody were on Planned Predator's payroll.
Yes, they were. They were.
Even the judge himself.
The judge, one honest judge, told us that we would never win a court case in New York, and probably York County, because Planned Parenthood owned them all. But we went federal, and we ended up in the Federal Court of Appeals. Now, if I would have cut and run and said, well, that car almost ran me over, and I'm not going back there, we wouldn't have had that great victory. This is a great victory for pro-lifers, Pastor Ernie, in the federal court. In fact, it's so big, it's being taught in law schools now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, Mary Grace in Ohio pledges 200. I love that woman. She is always, always out there. Thank you, Mary Grace. And Karen in Illinois pledges 30. Thank you, Karen. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. 888-281-1110. If you wanted to send a check, you would send it to 147 to WRWL, just 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. That's 14781. I'll say it a little slower. Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Also, when you call in tonight, folks, if you're calling in, if you don't get our newsletter, you really should get that newsletter. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, we get a lot of good feedback, a lot of good feedback on that newsletter. So if you don't get it, you should let us know, because we send you information that the opposition does not want you to know. You said, Robert, about courage being contagious. Would you say that Donald Trump is a good example of that?
100%. In fact, it's a reminder that God raises up leaders. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's gone through, and yet he's still in the Oval Office, and we persevere. I'm thoroughly convinced with everything in me that God spared his life and that he put him back in the White House because there's serious work to be done. And also, it's a reminder to the church, yes, we can celebrate victories, but we have to stay on offense. We can't rest and just sit back and let nothing happen. We have to keep preaching the word of God everywhere and all the time. For schools out there, you have to keep training young people the word of God. For businesses, continue to leverage your platform for the glory of God. One man does not make the kingdom. Jesus Christ is the King of the kingdom. He wants us all to step in courageously. And I'm convinced when he came up off of the ground in Butler saying, fight, 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 it reverberated, I think, through the American populace, and particularly Christians. We should be the most courageous because we know the one who gives us the victory.
Absolutely. You couldn't be, that couldn't be more true. Absolutely. When he did, he came up off that. And we're seeing, like I said, that courage is a little courageous out there. Also, we're seeing, you know, the Bible says, touch not God's anointed. I was in Israel, and they, you know, they refer to Donald Trump. They have him on a coin out there. There's Papa Trump, but they refer to him. I haven't seen your moment, the king, Cyrus. They refer to, yeah, they have Cyrus on one side and Trump on the other. But the interesting the thing there is that he came out, you're right, fighting. He never backed down for an instant. And here, when people saw that, that actually turned a lot of Democrats over. So it's amazing. Now, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, Big John, we have a lot of things happening out there. Scripture says, touch not my anointed, and a lot of those people right now, like the attorney general there in New York and that, they're in trouble. I mean, it's coming back on them, okay? And so, and Big Fanny, you know, having all of these, well, we're getting into that when we get back, but it's working, you know, folks. You got everything to gain by being a doer of the word and nothing to lose. So get out there, be a doer of the word. We're coming to a break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.